Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Judges. We're in the 10th chapter in the book of Judges. And I'd like to dismiss the children to children's church at this time. When I was about 8 years old, I don't know if it was at Christmas or if it was at my birthday. On my birthday, I received a record player. Are there record players anymore? Are they coming back? Or I'm talking about to play the 33s or the 45. Do people have them anymore? Yes or no? Okay, some do. Okay. Well, let me tell you what I had, and you'll be envious. I had a GE Wildcat. Does anybody know what I'm even talking about? This was a General Electric record player, and you'd take it and you'd open it up, and inside was everything you needed. It had the speakers on it and everything, and we would get, you could stack them on top of there, and it would play through a whole record, and then it would come back and it would reshift and then another record would go down. And they would play the other. And you could just play a whole bunch of stuff. You could stack them up there. Man, I was on top of the world with that. But let me tell you what was the worst. The worst was when you had a broken record. Y'all know what I'm talking about if you ever did that. If you had a broken record, it would skip. And it would come back and start over. You know, it would... Like if it was a hymn like Amazing Grace, let's say, you would want it to say Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. But it would skip it, go Amazing, Amazing, Amazing. So anyway, and it would drive you crazy. Because the broken record just would keep on playing the same thing over and over. Well, folks, can I tell you this? I have taken us on a journey in the book of Judges down a broken record. I want you to look at Judges chapter 10, and I want to read just a few verses, and we're gonna study some principles that we can pull from the book of Judges. Principles about repentance, about jealousy, about words of regret, lessons from Judges from chapters 10 through 12. We're going to hit the highlights, and we're going to pull out these principles and apply them to our lives. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. After Abimelech, there arose to save Israel, Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo, a man from Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in the mountains of Ephraim. He judged Israel 23 years, and he died and was buried in Shamir. Verse 3, after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and he judged Israel 22 years. So you had 23 years, and you had 22 years. So you're looking at 45 years, there were two judges. Now Jair had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys. They also had 30 towns, which are called Havoth, Jair, to this day, which are in the land of Gilead. Verse 5, and Jair died and was buried in Canaan. Verse 6, here we go. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths, the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the people of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. Now, hold your place in Judges 10 and go back to Judges chapter 3 and verse 7. I want to show you what I'm talking about. Judges chapter 3 and verse 7, it says this, so the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord, their God, and they served the Baals and the Ashtoreths. Now, what would happen is they would forsake the Lord, and then God would send a judge, thus the name Judges for this book. He would send someone to deliver them. Go to Judges chapter 4, verse 1. Just flip over. Chapter 4, verse 1. This was after Shamgar. And then it says, when Ehud was dead, after Ehud, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now I want you to go to chapter 6, verse 1. I mean, this is like a broken record. Chapter 6, verse 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Now go to chapter 8, verse 33. Chapter 8, verse 33. The Lord is so patient toward us, is he not? Chapter 8, verse 33 says, so it was, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal Berith their god. All right, go to chapter 10, verse 6. We just read that. Chapter 10, verse 6. Then the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths. Now, I want you to go all the way to the end of this book, to chapter 21, verse 25, and you have a summary of what the book of Judges is all about. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. A broken record. And that's exactly what we have here in this passage. So what can we learn from these people? How can we avoid it? Now, the truth of the matter is the Lord is patient toward us, is he not? He is patient toward us. He loves us, and he loved his people. But we're going to learn some things in these particular passages that are very, very important. Number one, if you have your listening guide there on your bulletin, fill this in. Be thankful for God's blessings. In chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, there were two leaders. There was Tola and there was Jair. And they judged for a total of 45 years. It gives a little bit more detail about Jair. And of course, in verse 6, we know that they went back and served the Baals, and they played the harlot, the people of God did. But the truth that needs to be shared is this: be thankful for God's blessings. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. If God has blessed you in any way, you ought to make a record of it. I remember as a teenager, I would go to youth camp, and our pastor would always tell us, take out a sheet of paper. I want you to write down 100 things you're thankful for. Can I promise you something? If you want to dwell on some issue that you have that will take your joy away, I promise you, Satan will provide you that issue. He will give you something that you can be mad about, you can be ornery about, you can be angry about. But one way to overcome that is to be thankful. The scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, with supplication, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He talks about the importance of giving our request to the Lord, not to be anxious about it, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So I would just say one lesson that I think we can take from the book of Judges, particularly these three chapters, is we are to be thankful for God's blessing. Now, here's the second lesson. Number two, repent from false repentance. Now, I want you to follow along. Look here in our passage. I want to read in verses 7 and following. So the children of Israel, well, let me read verse 6 again. You follow along as I read from chapter 10, verse 6. This is Judges 10, 6. Then the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths, the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the people of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines. And they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. So the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the people of Ammon. For from that year they harassed and oppressed the children of Israel for 18 years. All the children of Israel who were on the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites in Gilead. Moreover, the people of Ammon crossed over the Jordan to fight against Judah also, against Benjamin, and against the house of Ephraim. so that Israel was severely distressed. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against you because we have both forsaken our God and served the Baals." Now listen to this response from the Lord. Here's our lesson for today, ladies and gentlemen. Repent from false repentance. Every time they had the pressure turned up on them and they served Baals, the enemies would come in and they would begin to defeat Israel and God's people, and so they would cry out to the Lord. Well, they cried out to the Lord once again, and look at the Lord's response in verse 11. So the Lord said to the children of Israel, "Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the people of Ammon and from the Philistines? Also, the Sidonians and the Amalekites and the Maonites oppressed you, and you cried out to me, and I delivered you from their hand." Verse 13, "Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will deliver you," listen, "no more." That's pretty powerful. Now, we're going to continue reading and we're going to find out what happens here. Verse 14, God says, "Go and cry out to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of distress." You want to go serve these other gods? And folks, in our world, it could be power, it could be money, it could be in people finding their identity in multiple relationships and immorality, in drugs and alcohol, and some party scene that they're in, and every time they get to the bottom, they come back to God and say, "Oh Lord, would you please do something?" Well, the Lord says, "Go and cry out to those gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of distress." Verse 15, "And the children of Israel said to the Lord, 'We have sinned. Do to us whatever seems best to you, only deliver us this day, we pray.'" Verse 16, it appears that they got serious about repentance in verse 16. So they put away their foreign gods. You see, before it was all lip service. Before it was all just in their words. But in verse 16 it says they put away their foreign gods from among them and served the Lord. Now, I have to be intellectually honest with you, and I have to just be biblically honest with you. They put that away. The Lord is going to have mercy upon them again. And can I tell you what's going to happen? You already know what's going to happen. They're going to do it again. The people of God are going to do it again. You know what this does for me today, for our congregation? It shines the most magnificent bright light upon the great God in which we have. Because I can tell you that I can stand up on my high horse all I want and say, "I can't believe these people here. I can't believe what they've done. I can't believe that they have continued to go back to Baal and to be tempted in that way and to play the harlot with those gods of their world. I would never do that." Listen, the truth of the matter is we serve the great God of this universe who is full of mercy. Matter of fact, tonight I'm going to do our Bible study. We've been studying the promises of God. I'm going to do the promise of love. The promises in the scripture we find about love from God's word. Now, God said to them, he said, you go to those gods, see if they will help you. But in verse 16, they put away the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul, talking about the Lord's soul could no longer endure the misery of Israel. He couldn't stand it. He couldn't take it anymore. Let me read this verse of scripture from Isaiah chapter 63. It says this, "In all their affliction he was afflicted," talking about the Lord, "and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old." In their affliction he was afflicted. The Bible teaches us that even though they had forsaken the Lord, The scripture says his soul could no longer endure the misery. By the way, you know that for the non-Christian, can I say this to you, if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, the scripture says, my spirit, God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The Bible says this, behold, today is the day of salvation, saith the Lord. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. That scripture tells me that if you feel the slightest desire to give your heart to Jesus Christ, that's not an accident. That's the Holy Spirit of God wooing your heart to him. And can I say this to you? It makes it clear, if we reject him, then our heart can be hardened. You say, well, man, if I gave my life to the Lord this morning, you mean I'd have to maybe come forward and have someone show me in Scripture how I can be saved? You know, that would be a great idea for you to do that. You say, well, I don't know if I should do that. I think I better wait for a better time. Can I tell you this? There'll never be a better time than today. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And I want to remind you, the scripture says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I think these people, Israel, were God's people. In the same way that as a believer in Christ, the Lord's patience is with us. I just want to encourage you, if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, I would recommend highly that you not put it off. I would recommend highly that if you sense God wooing you and loving you, and you sense the expression of God's love in your life to give your life to Jesus Christ, I would do it. The Bible, the Lord said, in his affliction he was afflicted. And so in verse 17 it says, then the people of Ammon gathered together and encamped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people, the leaders of Gilead, said to one another, who is the man who will begin the fight against the people of Ammon? And he shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Now, so, number one, we're to be thankful for our blessings. Number two, we are to repent from false repentance. Repent from false repentance. We should mean business with the Lord. And if the Lord convicts us, we should put away the things that he has convicted us of. Here's the third principle here in chapter 11. Watch your words. Chapter 11 is about the concept that we are to watch our words. Now, Jephthah is the man that God raised up. Let's read about Jephthah. Now, Jephthah, this is chapter 11, verse 1. Now, Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begot Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said, you shall have no inheritance in your father's house, for you are the son of another woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. And it came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was, when the people of Ammon made war against Israel, that the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah in the land of Tob. And verse 6, and they said to Jephthah, come and be our commander, that we may fight against the people of Ammon. Verse 7, so Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, that is why we have turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, verse 9, if you take me back home and fight against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord will be a witness between us if we do not do according to your words. So God's people were under this pressure from enemies, particularly from Ammon. They needed a leader. They went and got Jephthah. Chapter 11 and 12 is really about Jephthah. Now, I say watch your words because here's what happened. Jephthah decided, I will be the leader of Israel. I will be the leader of Gilead. And so he went to Ammon. And instead of reading all this, let me paraphrase it in verses 9 through 26 of chapter 11. Jephthah went to Ammon. He said, "Why are you fighting us?" And they said, "Because you took our land." And he said, "No, we secured it years ago from the Amorites," not from you, "from the Amorites when they attacked us and they tried to kill us. And so therefore, we peaceably wanted to pass through. They would not let us. And so because they attacked us, we defeated them. And so that's why this land is ours." And so the Amorites actually attacked us. And so in verse 27 of chapter 11, he makes it clear, "You, Ammon, have actually wronged us." Well, Ammon ended up attacking Israel and Jephthah, okay? Now, I want you to look at verse 29, because this is where it happens, where Jephthah actually wins the battle. And then he does something with his words that I want us to be careful of. In verse 29, it says this, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and he passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he advanced toward the people of Ammon." He was on their way, he was on his way to defeat the enemies of God. All right, now get this picture. Jephthah was a son who had been rejected. He went off to another town, but he was a mean dude, and Israel knew, Gilead knew, if we need a leader, we need that guy. He's a warrior. So they went back, they talked him into being their leader. He said, "Will I be the king? Will I be the leader if I win?" And they said, "Yes." And so they said, "Okay." And so he went back, and now he's in a battle with Ammon, the enemies of God. These were the people that caused Israel to repent and turn back to the Lord. And so in verse 30, I want you to see, well, let's look at verse 29. This is Judges chapter 11, verse 29. "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. He passed through Gilead and Manasseh, passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he advanced toward the people of the land." Verse 30, "And Jephthah made a vow." Here's the lesson of chapter 11. You ready for this? Be careful of your words. Be careful of your words. Listen to what he did. "Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, 'If you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering.'" Verse 31. So he made this vow. Now let me say this. Most of the leaders, the judges of God, they committed themselves to the Lord. The Lord was not requiring these types of vows. Now it was not unusual for people to make vows in the Old Testament. They would make vows, but it often would be something like, "Lord, if you will give me deliverance, then I will make sure and deliver these cities into your hands. We will rule over these cities." They would make vows like that. But here is a man who is somewhat bargaining with God. Have you ever done that? "Oh Lord, if you will do this for me, then he makes this vow that is going to come back to get him. Verse 32. "So Jephthah advanced toward the people of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he defeated them from Oer as far as Minnith, 20 cities, and to Abel Keramim with a very great slaughter. And thus the people of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel." Look at verse 34. "When Jephthah came to his house of Mizpah, there was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels and dancing. And she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter." I have to be honest to tell you, this is a very confusing passage to many scholars. Some believe that he ended up fulfilling the vow in actually offering his daughter as a sacrifice. Others believe that it meant that he took her to the temple and that she served in the temple and did not become a mother, did not marry, but served in the temple. There were indications, and there are other passages indicate that there were young girls who were committed in that way. But I want you to look at verse 35, and it came to pass when he saw her that he tore his clothes. For whatever way you interpret what ended up happening, can I tell you this? You could tell by his response he regretted his quick words. Be careful what you say. Be careful when you are especially trying to bargain with God. Jephthah wanted to win that battle so badly. He came from a bad background. He wanted to be a leader. He wanted to be accepted. And so he made this promise. He made this rash vow. And so it's almost as if he was negotiating. Look at verse 35. He tore his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low." Many see him in such a negative light, Jephthah, because Jephthah is almost as if he is blaming his daughter. Well, when you return from a great war, an animal does not come out of your house to greet you in order to offer that sacrifice. Some say that because there was sacrificing of children in this day, that Jephthah was used to that. As a matter of fact, the king of Moab did it. In 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 27, it says this: "Then he took his eldest son who would have reigned in his place, and he offered him as a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel." There were people of that day that were offering their children, and there was such a mixture of the people of God with those that did not worship God in the correct way that some believe that he actually ended up sacrificing his daughter. Look at the passage here. It says, "You have brought me very low. You are among those who trouble me. For I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot go back on it." In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, it makes it very clear that the Lord was adamantly opposed to human sacrifice. In Deuteronomy 12, it says this: "You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods." It was strictly forbidden in the Mosaic law. This account of Jephthah and the way he responded is very unusual, that he would make that type of a vow. Verse 36, "So she said to him, 'My father, if you have given your word to the Lord, do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, because the Lord has avenged you of your enemies and the people of Ammon.' Then she said to her father, 'Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months.'" In other words, let me go away for 2 months that I may go and wander on the mountains and bewail my virginity, my friends and I. So he said, "Go." And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her friends and bewailed her virginity on the mountains. Verse 39. Now, the way this is phrased is one of the reasons some don't believe he actually carried out the burnt offering, but he took her to the temple, because it says in verse 39, "And it was so at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father, and he carried out his vow with her, which he had vowed." And then it says, "She knew no man, and it became a custom in Israel." And so some take it that way. But regardless of the way it is taken, he regretted those words. And all I would say to you is, here is the lesson. Listen, guard your words. Now, here's what happens in the New Testament. What happened was, in the same way, Sometimes the Pharisees, wanting to manipulate God, what did they do? They added their own rules and regulations to the law. They said, oh Lord, aren't you impressed with us? And so they added their own rules and regulations. The false teachers who had slipped into the church demanding that Gentile believers were circumcised, they added that to what the Lord wanted. And they were also the people of the Middle Ages in history who did penance and paid for indulgences in the belief that these acts would bring them God's favor. Can I tell you this? We can also adopt that same mindset. When we think that God accepts us on the grounds of what we do for him rather than what he has done for us. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, be careful with your words. Jephthah, who God gave a victory, made a vow that he regretted. And he ended up, as the Bible says, he carried out that vow. So in chapter 11, we learn to watch our words. The last thing, number four, beware of jealousy in the camp. And this is in chapter 12, because after that victory, I want you to notice this. Ephraim, this is one of the tribes of Israel. It says in verse 1 of chapter 12, then the men of Ephraim gathered together, crossed over toward Zaphon. Now listen, this is Jephthah's people. These are Jephthah's, these are the people of God. These are not enemies. And look what they said to Jephthah. Why did you cross over to fight against the people of Ammon and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house down on you with fire. I tell you, the people of God, they were jealous. They wanted to have part in that victory. And Jephthah said to them, my people and I are in a great struggle with the people of Ammon. And when I called you, you did not deliver me out of their hands. So when I saw that you would not deliver me, I took my life in my hands and crossed over against the people of Ammon. And the Lord delivered them into my hand. Why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me? They actually, his own people fought against him, and he ended up winning. He ended up having victory. This is interesting at verse 5. Look at verse 5 of chapter 12. The Gileadites seized the fords of the Jordan, places where people would cross over the Jordan River before the Ephraimites arrived. And when any Ephraimite who escaped said, let me cross over, the men of Gilead would say to him, are you an Ephraimite? If he said no, then they would say to him, then say, Shibboleth. Everybody say that after me, Shibboleth. Shibboleth. Say it again, Shibboleth. Shibboleth. One more time. Shibboleth. You're saying it right. Because look what happened. For he could not pronounce it right. He would say Sibboleth. They could not say the SH sound if they were from Ephraim. He would say Shibboleth, and they would say Sibboleth. And look what happened. If they could not pronounce it right, then they would take him and kill him. In the fords of the Jordan, there fell at that time 42,000 Ephraimites. All kinds of jealousy happening. When I think about that pronunciation, I think about that funny story about these two people that were in love, and they were married for many, many, many years, over 50 years. And boy, when they got older, they got a little cranky. You know, they lived together, and man, they got a little ornery, just a little bit ornery. They loved each other, but they were just a little bit ornery. And the man went on to heaven first, and so he got up there, and he knew, what's this going to be like? And he got there, and as the story goes, there was an angel at the gate, and the angel said, now listen, this is the test. I know you know what the real test is, trusting in the Lord, but this is the joke I want to tell you, okay? The angel said to him, now here's the test. I want you to spell love. And so the man, you know, he knew how to spell love. I mean, don't get me wrong. He knew how to spell it, but I mean, this is like big time. I got to get this right. And he said, okay. He said, all right, L-O-V-E. They said, come on in, man. You made it. You're in. So he went in. Well, not too long after he went to heaven, his wife went to heaven. You know, they had kind of gotten a little cranky with one another, you know, but they loved each other and everything. And so the angel said to him, said, look, I've got a I've got to go somewhere. Would you man this post? You know the test. So he's standing at the gate, and his wife walks up. Honey, you're here. I'm so glad you're here. Man, there's an easy test for you to get in. He said, here's the test. He said, spell Czechoslovakia. Well, listen. Now, I hope that you'll go easy on your wife if that ever happens. But can I tell you this? In the Bible, there was a spelling, there was a pronunciation test. All right? All right, let's wrap it up. Let me wrap it up here. Be thankful for God's blessings. Chapter 10. Repent from false repentance, chapter 10. Watch your words, Jephthah, chapter 11. And chapter 12, beware of jealousy in the camp. Now, can I tell you this? Jephthah didn't really respond to a difficult upbringing. Think about this now. This is where I want us to end right here. He had immoral parents. It says that he was a son of a harlot and Gilead. He had unloving brothers. He lived in troubled times. He wanted honor, but he bargained with God. Can I tell you this? Every person in this world has something that they could say. You know, I can blame it. The reason I'm the way I am, I can blame it on something in my past. Can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen? Jesus died for your past. Jesus has died to set you free from your past. And can I tell you this? You can have victory. Harold Morris was a guy that spent years and years in the Georgia State Penitentiary. He was with a group of guys, the wrong crowd, and he ended up, he was in a car. They went into a convenience store, decided to rob it, pulled out a gun to hold these guys up. And somebody in the crowd had a gun and wanted to be a hero and pulled out a gun, and they shot him. Morris's, Harold's friend, shot him. They ran, got in the car, and they said, drive, drive. He said, what happened? They said, we've shot a man. He said, is he dead or did he die? And they said, he was standing when we left, and they left, and he left. They took off. They never heard from anybody for a while. A knock came on his door. The two guys had been caught, and they framed Morris. And Morris received two life sentences for murder and armed robbery. He talked about how that he did not have a good relationship with his dad. Can I tell you this? He had a reason to be bitter. But in that prison, Harold Morris, a friend came to see him and told him about Jesus Christ. It's an amazing story. He gave his life to Jesus. He decided to be used of God. Do you know that because of his family and the fight of friends, they ended up bringing evidence to light that he was not the murderer? He was guilty of crimes, but he was not the one that shot them. And later, after 9 years in the Georgia State Penitentiary, he received a pardon. He wrote a book called Twice Pardoned. I was pardoned by God, my salvation, and then I was pardoned from the criminal justice system. But see, Harold could have said, you know what, my background, man, I had a bad relationship. But no, he gave his life to Jesus and God used him powerfully. Can I tell you this? Today is the day of salvation. No matter what your past, non-believer, give your life to Christ. Christian, no matter what your past, learn these lessons from Judges and live according to God's perfect will. God can use you powerfully. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we close.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.